Thank you, Kyle. I really, really appreciate that. One of the things that I really find just fascinating about Scripture is the way it all fits together so very well. And in Jeremiah, in the 31st chapter, what we have in here, in this passage, is a prophecy and a promise from God that's given to us in the book of Jeremiah, where he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." This is a favorite passage of mine from the Old Testament. And I think what it really is an accurate lens through which to view the New Testament. It's a way of reading the New Testament in light of the promise given here by God, that God will put his law in our minds and write it on our hearts. He will be our God and we will be his people. We will all know God, the least of us to the greatest of them. And that is the very essence and the heart and the soul of the new covenant, is that it's not just somebody standing behind a pulpit presenting their lesson of the week or the day or what have you. It's that we know God, that the law of God is written in our hearts and in our minds, each and every one of us. It's a personal, direct covenant with God. And I think that it's helpful to keep this in mind, especially tonight, because that's what I'm going to be talking about. But anytime we take a look at anything, any of the events of the New Testament, or the teachings of the New Testament, or the lessons that we can draw, to keep in mind this relationship, this direct, personal, one-on-one relationship with God embodied in the new covenant that he made with us. And I don't think it's any surprise, given that God has said that he will put his law in our minds and write it in our hearts, that in the very first public message that Christ gave, that we have in the New Testament, the Sermon on the Mount, I don't think it's any surprise to us that Christ started off that lesson and seeing the multitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Christ went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Beate pauperis spiritu, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I don't think that he's saying that, you know, we have a right or a calling to be poor in spirit. I think he's pointing out Jeremiah 31. That poor in spirit to the audience of the time would have had a very clear indication that it was not the religious leaders that he was talking about. He was talking directly to the crowd gathered to listen to him. And I think he's speaking directly to us. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Is that John? Okay. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I believe that Christ was announcing the arrival of the new covenant that was prophesied and promised in Jeremiah 31. That he was telling the audience that day, and all those forevermore who would read these words, that the Word of God is with us, each and every one of us, you and me, individually, together as a group, and with God. I think that this is an incredible lesson, and it's incredibly apt for Christ to give this as his first lesson, public lesson that we have recorded. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This had nothing to do with the religious authority of the day, that day or any day. This is Christ speaking to each and every one of us, directly and personally. Later in the same sermon, Christ said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Do we have the courage to ask? Do we have the strength to seek? And do we have the boldness to knock? We should, because we have the law of God written in our hearts and minds. He is our God, we are his people, and we all know him. We all know him directly and personally. At the end of the sermon, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. That authority comes from the new covenant. That authority is the same authority that each and every one of us has, that gives us the authority to ask, to seek, to knock, and to be given, and to find, and to have any door open to us that we knock at. Through our knowledge of God, through having his word in our hearts and in our minds, and being his people. I think if you read the New Testament through the lens of Jeremiah 31 and the promise and the prophecy given, I think it takes on an interesting dimension. Taking a look now at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The new covenant was about turning the word of God on its head. It was about confounding the expectations of the world, and it was about empowering every one of us to go with boldness and strength and courage, knowing that we have the word of God in our hearts and in our minds, that we are God's people, and that we all know him. Because just as Christ was humbled to take the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of a man, just as he was humbled in his obedience to the will of God, just as he was humbled to the point of death on the cross, we too know that if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, he will lift us up. He will lift us up in fulfillment of the promise that he made through Jeremiah. Because we have his word in our hearts and in our minds. Because he is our God and we are his people. Because we all know him. Regardless of our stature and our standing, we all know God. We all have that direct and personal relationship with him. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21. John says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. We know the truth. It's written in our hearts and in our minds. Each and every one of us know the truth because it was given to us by our God. First Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5. This is Paul writing, telling them that when he came to you, Paul did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Through Paul's humility, he was lifted up in the sight of the Lord. Through Paul's complete awareness that the laws of God and the will of God was written in his mind and in his heart, that he was God's and God was his, that he knew God directly in fulfillment of the promise given. He went before them with weakness and fear and much trembling. And it wasn't his work. It wasn't his work. It wasn't any of our work. It's the work of God. It's the power of God. Our wisdom is nothing in comparison to the power of God. Our strength and our abilities, they're given to us by God for use in his service. But his power is what determines the outcome at the end of the day. His law is in our minds. It's written on our hearts. He is our God and we are his people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For we all know him, from the least of us to the greatest. God has forgiven our iniquity and our sin. He remembers no more. The promise and the prophecy in Jeremiah was given to each and every one of us and was fulfilled through the coming of Christ. And we have strength and courage and power through that promise. Each and every one of us has it within ourselves to take up the cross of Christ, to talk to our brothers and sisters sitting across the aisle from us, to see what needs we can meet, to talk to our friends and our neighbors to see what we can do to help them, to bring the word of God to those who need it. And it has nothing to do with us or our wisdom, and everything to do with the power of God. Because his power is in our hearts and in our minds. He is our God and we are his people. And I think the lesson is that if we keep that in mind, if we keep in mind the prophecy of Jeremiah, the promise that was given through the new covenant, sealed and sanctified in the blood of Christ, that each and every one of us has this within us. How many Pauls are sitting in this room right now? How many James? How many Johns do we have among us? We have an incredible array of talent and skills and gifts and abilities. And none of them matter because it's all about the power of God and letting that power work through us. Knowing that the word of God and the will of God is in our hearts and in our minds. It was given to us directly. It was given to us freely, and we accepted the gift when we were baptized in Christ. I thank you very much for your time this evening and for your kind attention. And if there's anything that anyone here can do to offer any sort of aid or assistance, we're more than happy to help. Because as we are God's, we are also each other's. We each and every one of us are brother and sister in Christ. And we have that relationship and that bond that regardless of where we sit and what we do during the week and where we go and who we know and what we do and who we are all one in the body and the blood of Christ. Amen. Please join me now as we stand and as we sing.
67 humble yourselves.